Into your head.
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 Join me as a tremendously exciting moment. This is Into Your Head, show number 69. I'm Neil O'Carroll. I'm your host. Now, Joanne O'Carroll is also your host. She's just not in as many segments as I am. So really, she's not her host. She's more important than a host. She's a participant. I'm like the guy who comes on at the beginning and says, hello, this is a show. I'm going to introduce stuff now. Now, I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking usually when Joanne's segments come on, I don't introduce them at all. I just insert them. And then when she finishes, I just go back on and continue about something irrelevant. And I don't come and say, that was Joanne, or this will be Joanne. Well, that's because Joanne's well able to speak for herself. She's an adult woman in her late 20s, and she's well able to speak for herself. She's been trained in all sorts of skills, such as how to speak. She's been trained as a teacher, so she knows how to speak, especially in front of people with young minds, such as yourself. Most of you have young minds. You're young at heart. I don't mean that in an insulting way. You're fun-loving people who like to listen to some guy come on spouting off about cats and his wife and all sorts of other crap like that. And you don't mind. You don't mind I don't come on here and say, here's the latest news from Zimbabwe. Three sheep were run over in a riot that was started by a cow because the sheep's got in the way of the cow. The cow got angry and said, if they killed three of those sheep, you could save a cow's life. And the sheep are less important than cows, according to the cow. Unfortunately, it wasn't a sacred cow. It's not one of those countries where they have sacred cows. But the cow was under the impression that it was, because cows aren't very intelligent. They don't acquire much knowledge except what they acquire through the genes. They acquired knowledge from their parents, and apparently this cow had some foreign blood in its system, so it was under the impression that it was a foreign cow, which it wasn't. Well, it was a foreign cow to us, but we're not in that country where he was. But he was under the impression that he was from another country other than the one where he was, which I think I said was Zimbabwe. I'm not sure. I haven't got my story straight. I'm very sorry that I'm not able to keep a straight story about a cow and two sheep in Zimbabwe and their blood and whether or not it's a sacred cow. I have to make up these stories as I go along, and I have to save them to my memory bank as I go along. I can't go back and refer to some notes or refer to an old recording that I've based it on. This is the original material you're getting. I make it from scratch. If I come along here and say, I was walking down the street today, and the cat came out of nowhere and it attacked me, then I'm going to have to make up a description of the cat on the fly. I can't just look and check a mental image that I have in my memory bank and say, oh, that's what the cat looked like. Now all I have to do is translate that into words and tell the listeners. No, I have to make up a description before I even start to describe it. I have to make up a picture in my mind. I have to think it was a yellow cat with white spots, and it was on the fly, because I made it up on the fly. You might as well make a use out of that word and say it was on the fly, because cats like to attack flies. Now, I know what you're thinking. It's highly unusual for a cat to be walking down the street on a fly. But what I mean to say was that it was on the trail of a fly. It had spotted a fly and it was following it and trying to catch it, running around in circles. And there was a dog next to it that was running around in circles too, because that's what dogs do. They run around in circles trying to flatten the grass. And unfortunately, the cat circle and the dog circle got intertwined and they ended up colliding and making a figure eight in the grass, which was terribly entertaining for us, the observers, but not very entertaining for the cat, although the dog seemed fairly happy about it in the end. Once he came round and realised he had a cat stuck under him, he was very happy about it. He started rubbing himself just below his belly for some reason. I might look up what that means, actually. still working through this list of user suggestions for topics that I created a few days ago, based on user suggestions. I went to some users on the internet and I asked them, what would you like me to discuss on Into Your Head? And they gave me a load of topics. So I typed them. Well, I didn't type them, I just copied them from their messages and made a list. And now we've already done Severed Feet, Who Cares, in the previous episode, so I can mark that off, except I can't because my biro is broken. I took my biro out of my pocket this morning and it was smashed into pieces. The middle of it was still intact, the bit that holds the ink, but that's no use without the cast of the plastic bit on it. It's like if you have a broken leg and you think, oh, that looks fine, I know it's broken, but if I just put a splint around it, it'll be fine. Yeah, you have to have a proper cast around it, otherwise it's no good. Which makes me wonder why we have legs at all, if you can just walk on a cast. We might as well just have our legs removed and just walk around on solid papier-mâché casts, and that would cut down on a lot of health problems, because the health system is burdened down by the number of those of us who are overweight at the moment. And if we all had two of our legs chopped off, that's about 3 stone gone off your total weight, and you just get some light, hollow papier-mâché legs. You could use them for storage as well. You could store food in them, as long as it was healthy food, because you don't want to start getting fat again. Well, after all, going to all that trouble of having that excess weight chopped off by having your legs removed. If you start getting fat somewhere else in some other part of your body, then there's no extra limbs that you can cut off there. You can't go getting your arms chopped off, because then you're going to have no limbs at all. And you'll just be a blob. You'll have to crawl around on the. Well, you'll have to use. It might be useful then to be fat, in fact, because if you have loads of sticky out bits of blubber that you can use to somehow maneuver, if you train them a bit and exercise them, you can kind of use them as the little limbs to crawl around on, like a worm does. But then that would mean that you'd be getting exercise and that would use up the fat, so then you'd be back to square one. So the point of all this basically is, so if you're going to get your legs chopped off, you better watch how much exercise you do and keep it all under control. Otherwise, there's going to be a problem. Anyway, back to these topics. Now, Manny the Mailman has said, "How does Harrison Ford and Sly Stallone? How old does Harrison Ford and Sly Stallone have to be before they can't reprise their own characters?" In particular, Indiana Jones and Rambo and Rocky. Now, I'm not a fan of Indiana Jones and Rambo and Rocky. As far as I'm concerned, Rambo and Rocky are just violent thugs. They go around boxing people and beating them up. I don't think I've ever seen a Rambo film or a Rocky film. I was forced as a child to watch an Indiana Jones movie, and I didn't like it. It was this guy going around in a beard. Well, maybe he didn't have a beard at the time. He certainly has a beard now in some movies. But he was going around with or without the beard and climbing into caves and swinging off ropes and doing all sorts of bloody things that you should be doing in the safety of a circus ring for entertainment. There's no point. If you're going to do something dangerous like that, do it indoors. Do it somewhere where you have an audience who can watch you and who can finance the whole thing, because there's going to be costs involved. You're going to have the St. John's ambulance on standby. You're going to have a trainer and someone who some sort of a physiotherapist. So they all have to be paid, and you might as well make some profit from it as well. So you should work out what size of an audience you want for that. This guy, though, he just went around on these adventures all over the place. You can't go if you turn up at the North Pole or somewhere and there's a big monster unexpectedly and it starts to chase you and you have a big adventure escaping from it and you do all sorts of cool things where you're hanging off rope bridges and nearly falling into lakes and you eventually escape from the monster. But if you do all that and you don't have an audience there watching you, who's going to pay you for it? Nobody. Well, I suppose you could turn it into a fictional film, but no one's going to believe you. You're going to have to pretend that it's fictional, and that's basically what Indiana Jones had to do. He had to use all this as input into a supposedly fictional story so he could make a movie out of it and give big thrills to people in cinemas. But little did anyone know, he actually had all these adventures in real life. He was just Oh, he was just so irresponsible that he had no career path. He didn't bother planning, getting all this recorded on film somewhere. So if you're going to have an adventure like that outdoors, at least do it somewhere where there's loads of cameras. Do it down in the jungle or the desert somewhere where there's always a discovery camera documentary crew there, trying to follow some guy who likes to eat lizards. And who likes to, I don't know, there's probably some guy on Discovery now who likes to follow lizards around and brush their teeth or something for entertainment. And now that the crocodile hunter is gone, they probably have some new guy who does that sort of thing. Or they have some guy who goes around playing with sand in the desert and trying to find camouflaged monsters in it. Because I'm sure that sand is full of camouflaged monsters. Sand seems to move around a lot more than you'd expect it to. I mean, it is sand is, after all, made of rock, and rock is heavy, so sand shouldn't go keep moving around, rearranging itself every night. So I'll bet you there's sand monsters moving around in that goddamn sand down in the desert. Otherwise, if there wasn't, there'd be huge cities built in desert by now. It's absolutely fucking ridiculous. Now, before we go on, I'm going to hand you over for a few moments to our security correspondent, Tomo O'Brien. This is an occasional series he does called Tomo at Large. So here's Tomo O'Brien.
So I know I haven't been talking to you in ages, but I've been busy, like, you know. My ma got herself a fucking big, huge car. And, well, I suppose it's probably like a Jeep sort of car, you know. It's called a Rev4 or something. I think it's by Toyota. No, wait, no, it's Tato. Yeah, it's a Tato Rav4. And Tato make great cars, they do. I like their food as well, by the way. Especially the popcorn. Oh, jeez, it's gorgeous when you're watching a film with your ma, you know? Anyway, feckin' me and Snotzer spent ages, like, shopping around for this Tato car for me man. Took us, like, fucking couple of hours, like, you know, to get the fucking yoke. And then we get and we drop around her and she's all like, oh, that's deadly and all. But I went round to her last week and all she's fucking doing with the fucking car is bringing the stupid cats to the fucking vets. I was like, man, is that what you fucking begging me for, one of these Tato cars for fucking weeks and weeks just so you can bring your cats to the vet? Is there even nothing wrong with the cats, like, or are you just going up to the vet because you fancy your man? And she was like, Jesus, Tomo, sure you know me too well. She was nothing wrong with the fucking cats. She was throwing powder on them and fucking, I know what else she was doing with them. She was probably fucking wanking them off or something and bringing them up to the vets and saying, Jesus, is there something wrong with me, cat? Will you have a look at them? I think she was even robbing other people's cats and bringing them up to the vet, like, trying to say that they were whore cats. And you weren't even. They were, you know, they were some young ones' cats off the road. And she was fucking robbing it, bringing it up to the vets, hoping there's something wrong with it just so she can get a look at your man. She probably fucking went in front of the cats and went in behind the counter and started sucking his dick or something. I wouldn't be fucking surprised. She's a bit forward, you know. But what can you do? Like, she's at the end of the day, she's still me ma, like. Well, maybe. I think she is. Unless she robbed us as well to get some other fella. Yeah, sure. What was I saying? Oh, I went, was talking to me parole officer and he was saying, like, it might be a good idea if I, you know, like, signed up for a few night classes or that. And I was saying to him, like, well, you know, the night time doesn't really suit me, because that's when I work. I mean, you know, that's when I socialise. And he says, sure, go for day classes then. So I was thinking, Jesus. But I didn't really want to do the morning ones, because I'd have to, you know, get out of bed and all, like, because, you know, if you work late at night, you know, like, you do be tired in the morning, like. And I mean, it's the woman's job anyway to get up in the morning, like, because, you know, she has to look after the chislers. But, so anyway, I found this course. Well, now I have to say, me parole officer and me mate Neil, you know, your man who runs the podcast and show on the telly or the radio or whatever is on, anyway, the computer yoke. He Him and me parole officer found me a class that suits me grand, like it's on during the afternoon. So it's like, it's not too early, so I don't have to get up early and all. It's not too late, like, so I can still go out and work and all at night, So I says, ah, sure, fuck it, I'll go along. Maybe I'll learn how to read, like. I mean, I can read my name, basically, but like that's about it. Everyone else just looks like, I don't know, like scribbles and stuff. So it says, fuck it, go on, you're only fucking young, Tomo, you should go on and learn how to read now, So I says, that's your fuck it. So I went along and I couldn't fucking find a stupid place. They only went and wrote the names of the fucking classes on the doors, like. How the fuck am I supposed to know which one was the reading class when I can't fucking read? Fucking sick I was. Had to go and knock on every fucking door and walk in and say, "All right, bud, how's it going? What are you teaching?" I was a bit embarrassing, like, when I went into one and there was a bloke standing there in the nip, and I was just kind of like, "All right, bud, let me guess, this isn't the reading class." And funnily enough, it was reading class. Your man was just a bit of a fucking lunatic who walked in off the street. I thought it was like still life painting or something. Swear to God, I had to laugh at that one now, And the rest of the lads and girls in the class are all laughing as well. Like, it was a bit funny because I was like, this is definitely not the reading class. But yeah, it was like, so that was, funny and all. Yeah. And then, sure, me mates Notzer and Ado and a few of the other lads from the Joy are all in me class. They're all learning to read as well. So the next time any of us are sent down, should we be able to write letters to each other? Although I think it's next year that we learn how to write. We're only learning how to read now, but if they get someone else to write the letter, then I'll be able to read it, Well, hopefully, I suppose, if I pay attention in me class, like, teacher seems all right. She's a bit fucking snotty, like, just 'cause she can read and write, and she doesn't have 12 babbies hanging out of her. But sure, that's really it. Oh no, yeah, sure. I was going to tell you about Snotzer. He's on the telly the other day. Jesus, he kept saying he didn't really want to be on it, like, and it wasn't. He didn't mean it, Like, he just happened to be on this telly. The guards were showing him. Him shopping around for a Tato Rev4 for me ma. Luckily enough, I wasn't seen on it because I didn't want to be on telly either, Because like, if you're trying to do a decent bit of criminalisation, you don't want your face out there too much, Like, you want to be known by reputation and not by your face, like. So. That was a good laugh anyway. I think I saw him on RTE then as well. What's that show called he was on? Feckin' show with your man and your woman. Crime Line, that's it. It's Crime Line, 10 most wanted. I think he only got to number 8, the fucking loser. And then, wait till I tell you about Ado. Fucking couldn't believe him, man. He decided to find God. So he came out, as soon as he got out of the jail, he got baptized and he went to the church. And even though he robbed the money out of the collection box, they let him back in and he baptized him and all. I think he had his communion as well and he dressed himself up in a little suit and all. And he went around to all his mates and we all had to fucking give him cards and money in it and all. Fucking prick. I think he fucking made 100. Actually, he made a couple of £100. I might fucking do that myself. I'm sure I have a fucking suit somewhere. But, yeah, he decided to tell everyone about the end of the world, that, like, it's coming and all. But he got arrested again. Even though he's being all holy Joe and all, and being all, religious and all. Apparently, you're not allowed to staple signs to cats and dogs that are running around the street and to little children. They don't like it. You had to staple signs about the end of the world to children's heads or something. Oh, I don't know. whatever. Like, what's the world coming to when you can't fucking staple your own cat or some stray cat that you find or some stray dog or some stray child who is walking around the street, you can't staple a fucking sign to their heads. I don't know what the world's coming to. Anyway, that's about all. I have to get back to me reading class. Hopefully I'll tell you how it goes, you know, and let you know when I can read and all. Alright.
Digressed somewhat from the question I was trying to answer for Manny, and they always tell you when you're doing exams that you should read back over the question slowly and carefully, and that'll bring you back and make you think about it carefully. So let's read Manny's question again. He asks, how old do Harrison Ford and Sly Stallone have to be before they can't reprise their own old characters? Well, certainly an excellent question, Manny, and I've noticed a pattern in recent years among actors. Quite recently, the English comic actor Ronnie Barker reprised his old job as part of the duo The Two Ronnies, and months later he was dead. And then you'll notice that guy in Harry Potter, he came back and started appearing in the first couple of Harry Potters, and then he died, and then everyone else who's ever been in anything, as far as I can see, comes back and reprises it once and then drops dead. So that's my prediction. They can reprise their roles one more time. Now, they're both quite young. I think they're both in their 60s or something, so they can probably get away with it once more. But if they reprise their role once they're past the average lifespan of the average male, then they're dicing with death, basically. If they come back, say if Sylvester Stallone comes back when he's 83 and decides he's going to do another episode of Rocky, in which Rocky decides that he's sick of boxing, he's going to go back and become a private investigator and investigate boxer dogs who've been mistreated or who've been used in dog fighting. He's going to crack open the dog fighting industry. Well, that's a bad thing, because he's not going to be very energetic. He's an actor now, so he'll be able to pretend that he's energetic, and he'll look like his 22-year-old self in those films. But if anything goes wrong with the dogs in that film, he's not going to be able to run away from them. So he's going to get eaten by a dog at age 83 while making a new movie about a guy who goes into the police force to try and do something about dogs. So, if you don't mind, I'm going to interrupt myself there, because I think you might have noticed the more observant among you that was a complete load of crap. Manny the Mailman is a long-time listener to Into Your Head. He listens to every show while he's going round on his mail. On his mail round in New Jersey or New York or wherever it is. They're all the same, all these little cities in America. They're all pretty much the same. But he goes around wherever he lives delivering mail, and he listens to Into Your Head on the go, and as a result, a lot of mail gets undelivered. But that's fine, because he delivers it the next day when that's, I don't issue an Into Your Head every day, so if on the days when Into Your Head comes out, if he messes up on any of the mail, he can just keep it till the next day while he's listening to some other podcast, and then he gets it all right. But the point is, Manny went to the trouble of giving me this excellent question about Sylvester Stallone, and I've answered with a load of crap, and I can't even go back to it now, because I've scrunched up the piece of paper that I had the question on, so I can't remember what it was. It was something to do with how old they have to be before they can retire. I think that was the question. How old do they have to be before they can get married for this third time and then go and play a role in an animated Disney cartoon in which they play a mouse? Well, the answer to that, Manny, is that only female actors can play mice in Disney cartoons, because you have to. It's the whole Bart Simpson thing over again. Bart Simpson is played by a woman, but quite a masculine woman. But those two particular actors are male, and they're quite masculine male, or at least they create that image because of the movies that they're in. I mean, your man who's in that rocky for them. That's quite a macho for them to be in, if you ask me. Now I know what you're gonna say there. You're gonna say there was a movie a few years ago with Clint Eastwood as a boxing trainer and some woman as a boxer, and that's supposedly changed the whole image of women boxing, because she was supposedly a great woman boxer. But if you watch the end of that film, you'll see there's a downside to all that. So she didn't really change women's boxing, and I can't tell you why that is, because then I'd be giving away the end of the film. And if you give away the end of a movie in a podcast, people send around the spoiler police, and they come round. The spoiler police come round with a hatchet and a gun, and they pin you to the ground, and then they chop your head off with a hatchet. And that's how you know that the spoiler police aren't a part of the official judiciary system and policing system of the country. That's when you know that they're a bit dodgy, because the normal police don't usually do that, and not with a hatchet anyway. They don't pin you to the ground and chop your head off with a hatchet, because they know that's leaving evidence, and someone's going to be able to come along and look at the hatchet and see, I wonder whose hatchet that was. I must look up and see... where it was bought, and then they go down to the hatchet shop, and they say, "Did you sell a hatchet to someone yesterday?" And they say, "Yeah, it was one of your colleagues, one of the policemen, and his name was I can't tell you the name here, because Neil would have to bleep it out, because you can't go around making up police names and accuse them of committing a hatchet murder, even if it's a made up name. It might turn out later that there is a policeman by that name." And I could get in trouble, so this story has to end here, because I don't want to get over getting trouble by coincidentally making up a name that happens to match a real police officer, and then end up getting accused of calling him an axe murderer, especially if I'm accusing him of doing axe murder in the course of doing his work. Because that's even worse. That's an abuse of your position. If you're a policeman, or a policewoman for that matter, and you decide to murder someone with an axe while you're at work, you're deviating from your work. You shouldn't be paid for that time that you spend axe murdering people. And secondly, it's not very good. It's against the morals of most police forces to go around murdering people with axes. In fact, most police forces actively attempt to prevent axe murders, so it would be quite a shame if that sort of thing infiltrated their own organisation and their own staff started doing axe murders. Then they could be branded hypocrites, and the press would have a field day.
Like to comment on any of the issues raised in today's program, visit the Stalkers Forum guest book
and online voicemail system
at our website intoyourhead.com, or email us at studio@intoyourhead.com. Remember, we value the opinions of you, the humble and ignorant listener.